morning to you all, parishioners and any visitors. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Could I ask you, please, as is the custom in the season of Lent, to turn to page 222 for the reading of the Ten Commandments and the responses. Hear these commandments which God has given to his people and take them to heart. I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods but me.
You shall love the Lord your God.
You shall not make for yourself any idol.
God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth.
You shall not dishonour the name of the Lord your God.
You shall worship him with reverence and awe.
Remember the Lord's day and keep it holy.
Christ is risen from the dead. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth.
Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts. Honour your father and your mother.
Live the servants of God, honour all people, love your brothers and sisters in Christ.
You shall not commit murder.
Be reconciled to your brother and sister, overcome evil with good.
You shall not commit adultery.
Know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit.
You shall not steal.
Be honest in all that you do and care for those who need.
You shall not be a false witness.
Let everyone see the truth.
You shall not covet anything which belongs to your neighbour.
Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He is more blessed to give than to receive. Love your neighbour as yourself, for love is the fulfilling of the law.
Lord, have mercy on us, and write all these your laws in our hearts. Return to page 202 in the order of service. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The prayer appointed for this day in the Christian year, known commonly as Palm Sunday. Almighty and everlasting God, who in your tender love towards the human race sent your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Grant that we may follow the example of his patience and humility, and also be made partakers of his resurrection, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The prayer for the season of Lent. Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing that you have made, and forgive the sins of all those who are penitent. Create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may receive from you, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please sit for the epistle.
It is our faith that Jesus Christ is Lord, because he came from God in total self-giving and overcame the humiliation of death on a cross by rising and ascending. He is indeed worthy of our adoration and worship. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 28.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethpage in Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Monday, the 18th of March, was firmly in the diary. There was a lot of anticipation. There was excitement. There was concern. There was anticipation. There was hard work. There was plenty of training as the day got ever closer. And then came the email from the headmaster about the importance of good conduct, of good behaviour, and of the importance of being an ambassador at the School Cups rugby final. There we had Methody versus Campbell. The day was here. Everyone was arriving. Teams all bussed in. All of the students, parents, teachers, friends, all claiming allegiance to their particular team. And all coming in, or so it seemed, as one at the beginning, as they arrived at Kingspan. The day was now here. The hour hadn't yet arrived for 3 o'clock, but it wasn't far off. There was the buzz, there was the excitement, there was the adrenaline all kicking in. Everyone was very matey one to another, everyone talking one to another. And then a sudden sense of expectation entered into the conversation. 3 o'clock was rapidly arriving. Methody went to one side. Campbell went to the other side, along with their supporters. And the whistle blew, and there was silence. And the match got underway. Yes, there was lots of action. Yes, there was lots of excitement. But there could only have been one winner. There was a runner-up. That happened to be Campbell. And Methody went home triumphant. Today, Palm Sunday, we hear about the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, arriving on a meek, low donkey. Those who were given the task of organizing it followed instructions. They were told what to do, and they did it. I wonder how many of us are good at following instructions. How good are we at following instructions for even the most simplest of tasks? Do we not think, well, I know best, I'm going to do it my way? But those disciples followed very clearly what had to be done. They were even told what to say. If somebody asks, well, why are you stealing my donkey? Just say the Lord needs it. They got the donkey, they explained everything, the donkey was there, Jesus got on it, and this was a really good news day. This was, as we heard in the Gospel reading, a Hosanna day. There must have been a wonderful atmosphere there in that crowd. Everybody there with their palms, and that's why we have our palm crosses today. And do take one before you leave. All waving their palm branches everywhere. They put their cloaks on the ground as Jesus, God's only Son, comes in on a donkey. No heirs or graces. Just an ordinary donkey. And you can just imagine, can't you, the atmosphere of that crowd. And it's wonderful to be in a crowd, isn't it, when there's a really good atmosphere. They're all doing the one thing. They are welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem, waving and shouting and the exclamation of Hosanna. But not everybody in that crowd was of the same view. There were those in that crowd who had another reason to be there. They were there simply out of curiosity. What's going on? The sort of people who didn't want to miss the action. The sort of people who wanted to be there and then maybe deciding we'll have to do something if our anxiety gets to a high level. The Pharisees were there. They had a lot to be concerned about because all that they stood for was now at risk of being knocked down. Jesus coming in, threatening their whole establishment, the crowds all in favor of him, and here they are, trying to get the crowds, basically, to shut up. Have you ever tried to silence a crowd? If you've been there in a crowd, have you ever tried to stop all the shouting, all what's going on? Have you ever tried to bring it down to zero? Well, those Pharisees were trying very hard. Get your disciples to silence this lot because they're getting so concerned. Their future, all that they represent, because of this crowd gaining in force, the Hosanna is becoming louder. They are really, really worried. And yes, there is huge disappointment. How can all these people be shouting out Hosanna after all we've done to represent our side? And those Pharisees were furious. That disappointment was going to be reflected in so many different ways, as we will see as we journey together throughout this Holy Week. Because as we know, with the benefit of hindsight, that joyful aspect of the crowd shouting was not going to remain for very much longer. There was going to be a change in the crowd. And yes, we too have been in crowds where the mood has changed, where circumstances have happened, and the crowd changes. And we're going to see this now in these days of Holy Week, as Jesus makes his way from that triumphant entry to the foot of the cross on Good Friday. Yes, there will be great disappointment for some. What's he doing? What's he at? Why is our whole livelihood now at risk through what he is doing? Each and every one of us, at some point or other, has had disappointment in our own lives. We've had it. We may even have it as we speak, as we're gathered here in church this morning. And we will well have it in the future, perhaps coming at an unexpected moment, perhaps coming very suddenly, or perhaps we are aware of circumstances that are building and building and building. And the disappointment, isn't it, is all the harder when the expectation is so high, if it doesn't work out. Maybe a relationship has failed. Maybe a job opportunity hasn't manifested itself. Maybe a friendship has broken down. Maybe there has been news following a medical test. Maybe there has been a sporting issue, or whatever it may be. Yes, we have all been there, and yes, we will be there again. Jesus is going to go through himself a lot of disappointment in this most solemn of weeks of Holy Week. He is going to be going on trial. We're going to see Pontius Pilate, that very weak judge, totally out of his depth. And the crowds are there forcing the situation, and the judge seems powerless. We're going to see Jesus being betrayed. How disappointing that must have been for him. We're going to see Jesus being abandoned. Even those disciples, those who were closest to him, couldn't even keep watch, not even for 1 hour. How must Jesus have felt then, at that level of disappointment? Those who were closest to him, all of a sudden fleeing at the first sign of trouble. We're going to see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, feeling totally on his own. How disappointed he must have been at that point. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Thinking even his Father God had walked off and left him. And then, those gathered at the cross on Good Friday. So much disappointment. So many different issues. So much conflict. So many human emotions all going on through individuals, through crowds, and going on in Jesus' mind himself. One of the aspects of this Holy Week that I have asked Archbishop Robin Eames to focus on as he comes amongst us beginning tomorrow night is, what can that first Holy Week, through the characters, through the ministry of Jesus, through the crowds, and through all of the issues, say to us in 2019, in the midst of our disappointments, in the midst of our confusions, in the midst of our uncertainties? How can that first Holy Week relate to where you and I are now? Because faith must connect with reality. It must connect with individuals. It must connect with people, where they are, what they're doing, to offer hope for the ongoing journey. We give thanks that Good Friday is not the end, rather just the beginning, because that first light of Easter was already on the horizon at that darkest of days, in the most extreme sense of disappointment, when Jesus said, "It is finished," and died on the cross. Gives way to hope and the confidence of the resurrection, but we're not there yet. In order for us to be able to return next Sunday and proclaim Christ is risen, the Lord is risen indeed, hallelujah, we must first enter into the disappointments. We must first enter into the betrayal, the abandonment, and the forsakenness that Jesus entered into himself in a very real and personable way, and then, and only then, to come to experience the hope of Easter, and to allow that hope to enter into our disappointments, to sustain us, and to give us the strength for the ongoing journey. One of the things that I've been doing in recent months has been clearing out our family home in Galway. Challenging task. And I came across a radio, an old radio, many, many years old, hadn't been on for years. Put it on, and there was so much interference. Unlike the clear-sounding radios of today. So often we have interference in our own lives because of busyness and other things that we are doing. May we be turned on this Holy Week. May we not have interference to keep us away from church, but may we come to enter into real lives and real circumstances through real people, and to take from that what we can to give us hope where we are. Now that would be something to celebrate next Sunday. Christ is risen. May he be risen in us. But first, let's walk together in Holy Week. And now to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be ascribed is most justly due, all might, majesty, glory, dominion, and power, henceforth and forevermore. Amen. Amen.
We make our response individually and collectively to the gospel proclaimed in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The prayers of the people.
Heavenly Father, you have brought us safely to the beginning of another day, and we thank you for your tender, loving care. Help us to face confidently everything that today brings. Through our weakness, bring your strength. Through our anxieties, your calm. Through any distress, your comfort and grace. And through our lives, your presence and your love. To your loving care, we commend all those who are dear to us. Be in every wounded heart, every troubled home. Be with all who suffer pain and distress, giving the blessing of your peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you have made us members of Christ and of his church. You have taught us through him that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Make us more truly thankful for all your goodness. Help us to deepen our commitment to you as stewards of our time, of our talents, and of our treasure. Guide us in all things to know and do your will, for the honour and glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this diocese and this parish. Bless Harold, our bishop, John, our rector, Ken and Walter, our assistant priests, and Karen, our diocesan lay reader. We also ask your blessing on the many who assist in making this parish welcoming, the organisations successful, and this church most fulfilling. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, at this time of uncertainty throughout the world, give all in positions of leadership the mindfulness to make the correct decisions, to bring peace and stability to all. In our own province, show our politicians the way forward with the Brexit negotiations and the reforming of Parliament at Stormont for the benefit of everyone. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
This Palm Sunday we pray, blessed are you, Holy God, for in Jesus Christ you came to rule in our lives, not as a king, but as a humble servant, riding on a donkey. Enter into our hearts this day with your glory, that we may greet you with shouts of praise through Christ our Saviour. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Please stand for the peace. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
We share that peace. Thank you. greatness, the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father, almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. Through Jesus Christ, our Saviour, who for the redemption of the world humbled himself to death on the cross, that being lifted up from the earth, he might draw all people to himself. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image, male and female you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted, and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue, a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension. And we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. As our Savior Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you humbled yourself and taking the form of a servant, and in obedience died on the cross for our salvation. Give us the mind to follow you and to proclaim you as Lord and King, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Christ, draw you to himself, and grant that you find in the cross a sure ground for hope, a firm support for faith, and the assurance of sins forgiven. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, remain with you, now and always. Amen.
The Honorary Treasurer, Gillian Saglier, has asked me to convey her very grateful thanks to all those of you who supported the refreshments after church last Sunday in aid of Action MS. As you all know, Gillian is running in the London Marathon in 2 weeks' time, and the amount raised was a tremendous £574 through your generosity for Action MS. And do take good care, Gillian, and all good wishes to you when that day does come. Also to say thank you to Dr. McKee and the choir, our visiting soloists and our guest organists, along with the catering committee, who all worked so very hard last Sunday with Stainer's Crucifixion. You see the amount raised was £2,500 for a roof fund. That is absolutely tremendous. And we just under 300 people in the church, parishioners and members of our local community and beyond. And there was a wonderful sense of fellowship as we all listen to that wonderful choral work of Stainer. So thank you to all of you for your hard work. Holy Week begins, as we know today. Full details of all the services are on the Pew News. I commend them to you. And please note there will be no evening service here tonight. We are continuing our long-established tradition of sharing worship with Knock Methodist. And we have been invited to Knock Methodist Church at 7 o'clock tonight when the president of the Methodist Church in Ireland is going to be the preacher. All details of the lunchtime preachers in Knock Methodist are here in the Pew News, 1:15 to 1:45. Then 8 o'clock every night, tomorrow through to Good Friday, Archbishop Robin Eames looking afresh at Holy Week. How can it offer us hope in the disappointments and the issues of our daily living? So I do commend that to you. The 3 hours on Good Friday are being conducted by Bishop Patrick Rourke, the Bishop of my home diocese of Tuam, Killala and O'Connery, formerly Dean of Armagh, and before that Rector of Atherton in Port Stewart. And we do look forward to welcoming him. You are welcome to come and go during those 3 hours as your diary makes possible. Then on Saturday, between 10 and 11, all help will be appreciated with the decorating of our church for Easter, and next Sunday, Easter Day, Holy Communion at all of the services. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Amen.